who did expect Steve Martin. It comes to mind that you probably should have my wife sharing with you. When Tim was rehearsing that little story to you about the lean-to, she said, well, they should have known that he was awake by the fact that he wasn't snoring. So that's her first comment. And about it's probably a little longer than that ago, probably about a month or so ago, I think she was talking to one of her friends and talking about me, and I don't know if I heard it directly or indirectly, but she said to them that he really couldn't be funny if he tried. And so please understand that you don't have Steve Martin before you tonight, but I'll do my best to keep a smile on your face and that we can enjoy our time together in the Word. If you would, turn to 2 Peter to start out with this evening. I'd just like to establish a couple of things, and maybe just to set the record straight, like many of you, I continue to be involved with the ministry of Camp Lilolai, but as of last November, I guess it was, I stopped being the president, and our brother Clyde Tyson has taken on that role, and I'm grateful for that, and that brings a smile to my face. Certainly appreciate Clyde's efforts in the work there, but as I look up amongst all of you, I see those fellow workers in that ministry, and we're certainly grateful for that, and we love the work of Lilolai, and the Lord has done some great things there, and many fond memories. I'm glad Tim didn't, you know, go on and on about some of the other stories that he probably could have shared, but let's look to 2 Peter chapter 1. To those who have obtained like precious faith with us, the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given exceedingly great and precious promises. I just want to stop there just for a moment, and as we look at that verse, notice that He didn't give us some things that pertain to life and godliness. He gave us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And then if you would turn to Joshua chapter 1, and I'll read from there, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. That you shall meditate on it day and night. He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And I read some of those verses to start out this evening just to set the stage for what we're talking about and what we're talking from tonight, and that is God's Word. A brother from our meeting this morning, some of you may know him, his name is Dr. Sam Curian. As he shared from the Word, he talked a little bit about our world in which the validity of God's Word is being challenged more and more, whether it's inside the doors of the church or outside. Denominational churches throughout our world, less and less people believe that the whole Scripture that we take to be from God is fully God-breathed, so that in fact, he cited a number that was staggering to me. Amongst clergy in denominational churches, 75% of those men and women don't hold to the fact that God's Word is inerrant, that it's totally true. And to me, that was really sobering to consider that as he presented that to us this morning. And as we come together and we approach God's Word, I take it and I present it to you tonight as God's, as our brother put it this morning, breathed it out, inspired it for our use to understand Him, to draw into a closer relationship with Him, that we might live our lives pleasing to Him. So I say those as just some opening remarks, because I think it's important that we establish where it is that we're coming from when we open this book. We're not here to just discuss fables or fairy tales. We're talking about God's plan and His revelation to us as to us to understand who He is and how we can relate to Him. And certainly there's many glorious principles, precepts, and truths that we find in His Word, probably none more dear to our heart than the plan of salvation. And I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of Haggai for a moment, because that's probably where we'll be spending the majority of our time. I want to say to you that I stand before you tonight as a sinner saved by grace, by God's grace. Nothing more, nothing less. And our attempt to look at God's Word tonight is by His grace. And I pray that as we look at it together, as students of His Word, that as our brother mentioned earlier tonight, that we would take home something from God's Word tonight that would give you hope and encouragement, strength, that we would build one another up. That is my desire for our time together tonight. A couple of things that I, in addition, I didn't know what to call the topic. And I have to say to you, and I see, and I'm encouraged, I will say I'm encouraged to see the young families in your midst and the young children. It's a real delight to us to come here and to see, quite honestly, that you have a Sunday evening meeting. I praise the Lord for that, and I praise the Lord for your faithfulness and your desire to go on for Him. My thoughts, as we'll look to in Haggai, I do have to do with our personal walk with the Lord. But in our personal walk as individuals, we find, and I'll personalize it, and all this is really a mirror for me, we live in a world that is out of control. It's going in every which direction that you can imagine, as far as the eye can see, and we're stuck trying to navigate in it and around it. And for maybe for some of the younger folks that are with us tonight, perhaps they haven't quite gotten to that aspect of it, but there's an awful lot going on in our world that challenges us, that challenges our faith, that challenges our desire to please Him. I again speak personally, I find that there are a lot of conflicts in my day-to-day experience that would cause me to not have my affections and my focus placed on the Lord. And yet, in that sphere of chaos, all so often, are these opportunities to share that hope that lies within each one of us with those around us. And it's interesting to me how we take some of those opportunities and how some of them we don't. And I've been challenged by that more and more. My son's a gymnast, some of you know that, and the other evening we were at an event at the gym. It was their year-end show or something, and Betty had saved me a seat. She had gotten there earlier, and shortly after I sat down, in fact, I probably had barely touched the seat, and there was a fellow sitting kitty corner from me, and he proceeded to hand me a track, and he said, "God had purposed in my heart to share this with you tonight." And I was so thrilled by that, and then I watched him, and we conversed a little bit while there was time before the show to see how diligent he was to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, to share that hope that he had from within him with those around him. And as excited as I was about that, and as quick as I was to engage him in conversation about the Lord, I was very much convicted later that night that why was it that it was him that was so quick to hand out the tracts. Oh yeah, I did the easy part, didn't I? I engaged the conversation once the ice was broken. And I was really convicted and challenged by that. And I know that we have an evangelist in our midst here tonight who is very quick to share tracts. And I'm sure we have more than one in the group, but I think we know of one person particularly that comes to mind that has no shame about his love for the Savior and is quick to hand out that good news of Jesus Christ. So again, coming back to this idea, I think we have in this world that we live in that is so chaotic at times, so busy with things, we have these opportunities to share the love of Christ with those around us. And my wife spends a fair amount of time at this very same gym, and she has been sharing with me probably over the last 6 weeks about somebody that she's had the opportunity to witness to and share the love of Christ with. Perhaps not every single time mentioning the Lord Jesus in every conversation, but she's been there to minister to this woman who, at the time, her mother had terminal cancer. And Betty purposed to pray for her, and she let her know that, and struck up quite a relationship with this lady. And this lady grew quite fond of Betty. And as a result of that, the woman went off to Florida to take her mother on this last trip. And since that time, this woman, the mother who had terminal cancer, has gone on to be with the Lord. I know you're probably assuming that I'm going to tell you that this woman has now trusted the Lord Jesus as her Savior. I can't tell you that tonight. But what I can tell you is that there's an opportunity that was sitting there that my wife, or perhaps you, because you can put yourself into that situation, have you taken the opportunity to share the love of Christ with someone around you? We have this treasure in our heart. We come here and we gather around our Savior. What are we doing with it? How are we living it out? I wonder if we could now look at Haggai chapter 1. As I am challenged, and I hope these thoughts make connection in your heart as we look at them, but as I was looking at this book of Haggai, I was drawn here from a brother that shared on a Wednesday night at our chapel probably about 2 years ago to a particular verse, and we'll get to that in a few moments, but we'll start right at the beginning. Haggai chapter 1, verse 1. In the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of the Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, to the Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, "Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built." And so to set the stage, we have Zerubbabel, Haggai, and Joshua, okay, during the reign of King Darius. And here's a governor, a high priest, and a prophet. Here are these men, okay, men of God, that God has a plan and a purpose for. The condition of the land at the time was, they desired to begin, or there was a desire on God's part to build the temple. Well, the people said, no, not right now. Right now isn't the time to do that. I'm going to stop for a second and ask you to look in the mirror and think about that for a second. As a believer, have you ever said to God, no, now isn't the time for that. Perhaps another time. I'll let you think about that for a moment. Okay, and then now, going back to verse 3. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, "It is time for you yourselves to dwell your paneled houses, and this temple to lie in ruins. Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. And we'll go on to read a few more verses in a moment. It's okay, again, we're looking at ourselves in a mirror for a second here again. It's not time to build the temple, but it is time to be preoccupied and have our focus on our paneled houses. And very interesting way to describe it. But when we come back to this world that we live in, we're citizens of where? Heaven. But we live here on earth. And a brother from our assembly years ago had once made the comment that, yes, we're in the world, but we have to be careful that we're not contaminated by the world. We all like nice things. There's nothing wrong with perhaps a paneled house, is there? Or nice decorations or a beautiful home. Question perhaps is a question of priorities, I believe. They weren't ready to do what God had desired for them, but they were consumed or taken up by the cares of this world, the cares of the thing that they so enjoy. Verse 6, you have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. I got to tell you, a year and a half ago, probably a year ago, that verse really stopped me in my tracks. I don't know if you can envision your life and you can envision the bag that you carry around, so to speak, that you have this bag, and our world is so consuming so often in our lives, we can just never get enough into that bag that we have. We're just trying to grab more, pull it in, put it in the bag. What's happening to the bag? Stuff's just falling out of the bottom of the bag, and we don't even realize it. But you know what? Bag's not full. We got to go grab some more. And we're so preoccupied, and again, I speak to myself, we're so preoccupied by grabbing, got our bag here, and filling it up. And what's happening? Just falling out the bottom. And you know, I come back to the point that there's a lot of things that God has allowed us and given to us and made available to us that aren't bad things, but sometimes we can be real greedy. We tend to want to hoard things. We tend to want to grab on and get as much as we can and fill that bag. Okay? But moments before, we're looking at what God is saying to them about building the temple, but they don't, in this case, they didn't have time for that. They didn't think it was the right time for that. I don't know what that's like for you or if that speaks to your heart at all, but for myself, when I considered that illustration, it just really hit me between the eyes that how guilty I can be of that at times in my life. And I'm not suggesting that it's every day, but we fall into those traps of the world and engaging the things that are around us. And verse 7, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. And I think this is, and he said that prior to that statement as well, consider your ways. And that was kind of one of those things, again, that when I read the verse, it just stands out to me. Think about it. Consider it. Consider what you're getting yourself into. Consider what you're doing with your time, with your resources and your energies. Remember, we talk about this blessed hope that we have in us, this so great salvation that God has implanted in us. He's given us this gift. And way too often, again, with the mirror in front of me, am I focusing my energy in the right direction? Am I considering my ways? Going on to verse 9. You looked for much, and indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why? says the Lord of hosts, because my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. Again, I don't know how that strikes you, and perhaps I don't know you, and perhaps you might think, well, what does Dave know about our assembly that he's coming here talking about things like this? And I'm not talking to any one person in particular. These are just thoughts that God laid on my heart. But if it's fitting, and you know who you are, because I know who I am when I open the book and God reveals himself to me. But this consumption that we have, that we tend to want to take care of our own affairs, but where are we? Where is our focus? Where is our desire to please him? Where do the two balance out? Am I like these people? I run to take care of my own affairs. Well, are they my affairs, or are they all his affairs? Verse 11, For I called for a drought on the land and the mountains, on the grain and the new wine and the oil, on whatever ground brings forth, on men and livestock, and all the labor of your hands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of the Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent them, and the people feared the presence of the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people. I am with you, says the Lord. That's another one of those verses that I just grab a hold of and take great courage in and great appreciation to know that in my life, even as we're looking at this Old Testament story, that I know that we can know in our life that I am with you, says the Lord. He is with us every day, every moment of the day. And as we started out by reading that verse in Joshua, that I will meditate on his word just during the day, no, day and night. And I talking to Betty about that earlier today, or maybe it was yesterday, that, well, is it practical to think that we're meditating on the word even when we're sleeping? Well, I'm not sure exactly the exact meaning there, but I take it to mean that in my conscious waking hours, my prevalent thought is to be meditating and thinking about God's word and his plan for my life and how he would have me to live. And if we go on in that verse back in Joshua, it talks about making our way prosperous. And I find it interesting because my nature is to run to my house and to take care of the things that I feel that are important, and I leave the things of God. And in fact, if we were to consider them in the right order and focus our attention on the things of God, all those other things fall into place. And I don't know what those other things are for you, but that proper perspective, focusing our attention on him and his desires and what he has given to us in his word, all those things will fall into place. So verse 14. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of the Shealtiel governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. He stirred up their spirit. He got them worked up. They realized what God wanted them to do. He got their attention. And then what did they do? When they were focused on what he wanted them to do, they went and they worked. We could go a little further then into chapter 2. Haggai. We'll start at verse 2. Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of the Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of the Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, Who is left among you who saw the temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now in comparison with all? Is this not in your eyes as nothing? Sometimes when we're doing things for the Lord, we can be discouraged in what we're doing. We make comparisons to things that others have observed, perhaps, about something. And in this case here, isn't it as nothing? Is it like no comparison at all? But then verse 4, "Yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord, and be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the lands, says the Lord, and work, for I am with you." Sometimes it's really easy for all of us, for myself, to take our eye off the mark, to take our eye off of what God's purpose or intention is for us as individual believers. It's easy to be discouraged. It's easy to, we just have to be careful that we're not discouraging others, of course, but the Lord desires to encourage us and encourages us through His Word, by His written Word, to be strong, to take courage, and to remind them again and again, "For I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. According to the word that is covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you, and do not fear." And maybe we'll just jump down to verse 9. "The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give you peace, says the Lord of hosts." So in their effort here to rebuild and start the rebuilding process, we come across this group that at first was not ready to do it. After God, through Haggai, points out to them what they were focused on, the Lord communes with them, touches their heart. They realize their error. And then they come to work for God. They come to do what He has desired for them to do. And He honors that. And even when they were perhaps down a bit and a bit discouraged, He says, "I am with you." A couple other key phrases I just want to just remind you, and I've said them probably already a couple of times, to consider your ways. As believers on the Lord Jesus Christ, I encourage all of us that when we engage something or begin to do something for Him, or we begin to do something at all, that we consider our ways. We consider what it is that we're doing to be strong. I believe it's Ephesians 6:10. It says, be strong in the power of His might, not our own. It's really easy for us to want to take up our own strength and our own energies alone. But God has given us His strength to accomplish His purposes. I wonder if we could turn to 1 John, the Epistle of John. Verse 15. Chapter 2, verse 15. "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." This is another one of those verses that really brings it home to me, that really challenges me in my personal walk with Him. Again, there's so many things in the world that seem so appealing, that are so attractive, that are give pleasure for the moment. A lot of us struggle with some of those things. The Lord is reminding us not to love those things, encouraging us. Let's go over to 1 John chapter 1 for a moment as well. This is a passage that has been a real encouragement to me, and I think it just draws the focus back to Him. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, the life was manifested. We have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifested to us. That's what we desire to declare. That eternal life, which was with the Father, has now been manifested to us through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We just have this opportunity. We have this blessing of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we've had that revealed to our hearts. I look at a audience of people that many of you have known the Lord for a long, long time, and you've enjoyed your long walk with Him. What a blessing it is, both to you and to perhaps even some of the younger children in our room tonight, that have had the love of Christ manifested, revealed to them, that they might have hope eternal to be with Him, to have that joy of their own salvation. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship was with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. At our assembly for some time now, we have been, I want to say, struggling through the issue or the topic of being of like mind or being in one accord. And this particular passage in this verse, when it talks about having fellowship with us, I think is a pretty neat thought. It's important that as believers we can have fellowship with one another. And that's a pleasurable thing. Most often, and fellowship is associated with food. But beyond that, as believers, we have this like situation that we have been, those of us, all of us were sinners, right? But those of us who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, we have this bond, this fellowship with one another. And it's a joy to share with one another the hope that's within us, the excitement of what God is doing in our lives. Do we do that often enough? I don't know. Probably not. Probably we talk too much about the food and not enough about what the Lord's doing in our lives, but that's a challenge for us, right? But we have this fellowship with one another. But the thing that I enjoy so much about this verse was at the end where it says, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. That's where the heart of our fellowship is centered around Him. And we certainly praise His name, because when we consider that we were lost and without hope. And then verse 4, and these things we write to you that your joy may be made full. We have this privilege that we've had the gospel made known to each one of us. No doubt everyone here in this room tonight has had the gospel clearly stated. If you haven't made a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ, very likely you've heard about the Lord Jesus and the fact that He died on the cross for each and every person here tonight. He desires that you would come and ask Him for forgiveness of your sins, that you might be forgiven of your sin, because it tells us in, I believe it's Luke 19:10, that He came to seek and to save those which were lost. And that's what He desires. He's come after us. He didn't come to the world to condemn us. He came in the world to save us, to restore a relationship with one who was sinful to one who was holy. That's the God who we're talking about tonight, and we take great delight in considering Him. But that's why I like that last phrase too. The whole reason we even write these things down is that your joy may be made full, so you might understand these things and you might be excited about them. See here, I think we're going to go to Philippians for just a second. You could then turn to Philippians chapter 2. And most of the things that I've said to you tonight are not new. I realize that. But as I walk in my journey with the Lord, I know that I'm faced with many of these challenges, and these things are an encouragement to me. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Work it out. Work out your own salvation. And I struggled probably with that verse for a long time, not quite understanding what it meant. But each of us that have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior has entered a journey with him, our relationship with him. And some days you realize that you're working some things out. You're struggling through, perhaps, his desire versus my desire, and trying to put yourself into the position of less of me worrying about my paneled house and my bag that I just can't jam enough things into, and just filling and filling and filling it up, versus what the Lord wants for my life and my heart, to be at peace with him, to understand God's heart, to enjoy the precious promises. He's given us what? All things for life and godliness. He has given us so many things, but all too often, as believers, we miss it. We don't get the full blessing because we perhaps are still wrestling with that one. We're not getting it today. And that's a challenge to myself primarily. I say that to you as well. What are those things that you're wrestling out? And I don't know all of you very well. I know some of you, and probably only on a casual basis. You know in your heart of hearts what the Lord is doing in your life. You know in your heart of hearts what you're preoccupied with. Are you preoccupied with the love of Christ? Dave, am I preoccupied with the love of Christ? Am I like this fellow that didn't know anybody, probably in the area that he was sitting, was just so free to share a track because he was concerned that somebody would go to hell, that he would share the love of Christ through a tract? Am I like that? Am I prepared to do that? And I'll be the first one to admit it. I don't always feel that that's the easiest thing in the world for me to do. I struggle with that, and it's not me. But I'm convicted that I have this precious thing in my heart that God has given me. He has seen fit to show me his love, to reveal himself to me, and to forgive my sin. And am I that stingy that I can't overcome a few things in my person, that I don't want to share that love of Christ with somebody else around me? I challenge you with that tonight, and I pray that the thoughts from his word are an encouragement to you. I certainly am encouraged by all of you being here tonight, and I thank the Lord for those of like precious faith, those who are trying to be diligent in their walk with him, to study his word, to be prepared for every good work. That's certainly a challenging thought from Timothy, isn't it? That we're prepared for every good work. But the Lord has given us his word. He's given it to us as his guide. And perhaps as we grow older and older in him,
we realize that meditating on His Word, and we understand how much value, how much wisdom there is in God's Word to reveal to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, that we would be successful in all areas of our life, and most of all, that we would come into a relationship with Him for those who don't know Him, that you would know that love, that hope, that joy of having a relationship with a God who cared so much for each one of us that He sent His beloved Son. Who was it? The one in whom He was well pleased. The one in whom He loved. But He put my sin on His Son. And I praise the Lord for my Savior tonight. And I just thank you again for the opportunity to share His Word together with you. Let's close in prayer.